So we're going to learn Daf Nun Dalid, but we're going to start with the last two lines on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara, as you recall, gave a simin that we were going to ask five different questions. We've asked two of the questions already. We first asked about a mamenes, whether when she comes back to her father, whether or not she continues to get mezonos. Remember, let's back up even more than that. The general sugya over here is we're talking about what a woman collects in her ksuba and the tanai ksuba, all the other branches or parts of the ksuba that come along with it. So if there's a ksuba she collects, if there isn't a ksuba she doesn't collect, and that's the basic gist of what we're the bigger discussion over here. And then the Gemara was asking some very specific scenarios. So the first one was again mamenes, a lady who says I'm not interested, you know, who ends the marriage and she wants to come back to her mother's house, whether she continues to collect mezonos. That was the first question. Second question was if there's a yibum situation, and then there's a daughter from the second husband, obviously not from the first, because if there was a first from the first brother, there wouldn't be yibum. So obviously the girl has to be from the second one. And the question over there is who's responsible for her mezonos, the first husband or the second husband? Okay, that takes us now to the bottom of the Amud. So the Gemara asks another question. Boy, Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar asked the following question. Bas Shniyah. Yesh la mezonos or ein la mezonos. The shniyah, as we know, is those isure erva which are only asur midarabanan, which means, they put it in perspective, midaraisa, it's fine. You didn't do anything wrong on a daraisa level. However, the rabbanan said, I don't want you to be married. Now, if the rabbanan say you don't want to be married, the rabbanan also say that you don't collect a ksuba. So on the one hand, you don't have a ksuba. On the other hand, midaraisa, you really deserve a ksuba. So that's the dilemma. So now, on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks as follows. Kiven de les la ksuba les la mezoni. On the one hand, we say there's no ksuba, so she doesn't get mezonis. Remember, as we said before, the mezonis is only an aspect of the ksuba. It's derived from the halachas of the ksuba. So if there's no ksuba, then even the daughter doesn't get mezonis either. Idoma, or maybe the way we looked at it is like this. Ima of the Isura, the mother who actually is the Shniya, is not allowed to be married to the husband. So she did the Isur Kansuha. So they give the Knas to the mother and they don't allow her to collect her Ksuba. Kansuha Rabbana. That's where the Rabbana put in the Knas. Because remember, Mida Araisa, she deserves a Ksuba. You have to remember that's the perspective. Mida Araisa, she really does get a Ksuba. It's the Rabbanan who put a stop on it and they said no. So the mother, I understand why she doesn't deserve to collect. But the daughter who didn't do anything wrong, why would the Rabbanan say she doesn't deserve to collect? She didn't do anything wrong. So the Gemara ends up with a kash on that. The next Gemara's question is... Fine. Bali Rova. So now Rova asks another question. Bas Arusa Yesh Lamazinus or Ein Lamazinus. So this is a little bit interesting because we're talking about they're just engaged. They have a daughter, they shouldn't have, he jumped the gun and they had a daughter. Now the question over here is Rashi says two pshatim, and we learned the whole sugya with both of these pshatim. Either they decided to write a ksuba, for whatever reason during Erisin, or even if they didn't write a ksuba, it's a takanas chazal that already during the Erisin, there's a chiyuv at least of the basics in the ksuba. So the question then is, does that carry over to the daughter or not? And what's the question over here? Kiven de isla ksuba isla. On the one hand, this is the flip side of what we just said before. Before we said, since she doesn't have a ksuba, she doesn't get. And now we're saying just the opposite. Even though she doesn't deserve one, because she has one for whatever reason, now the Rabbanan started the concept of a ksuba. Remember, the question before was the Rabbanan took away her right to ksuba. Here, the Rabbanan are giving her a right to ksuba. Really, an arusa doesn't deserve a ksuba. And the Rabbanan are the ones who decided that she deserves a ksuba. So therefore, the daughter should get one. Really, even though the Rabbanan said that even during Erisin you can have a ksuba, but the point of the ksuba was because the goal is to get married. And over here, they never got married. So since they never got married, maybe the concept of the ksuba doesn't really start in full blast. And therefore, the fringes that come with the ksuba maybe shouldn't really start yet either. That's not where Chazal were pushing for the ksuba. So again, teku. Fine. Last question of this series. The Gemara asks, Boi Rapapa. Rapapa asks, A question. Bas anusa yesh la mezaynus or ein la mezaynus. Now the anusa we're talking about is a naira murasa, not naira murasa, a naira that was forced to live with this guy. And the halacha is, this is the sugya of Moiti Shemra and Einus, that the husband has a chiyuv to marry her. And that chiyuv by Einus specifically is that you cannot end that marriage. Once they get married, the husband must remain married to her forever. So the question is, and then of course, you know, he did live with her, they have a daughter. And by the way, they are married in this situation. It's a regular marriage. However, there's no ksuba in this marriage. So that's the question over here. So if there's no ksuba, do we hang on? Do we attach the chiyuv of the bas nezaynus, which is a tanai ksuba? But you need a ksuba in order to have a tanai ksuba. So first the Gemara eliminates. Alibi the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda loiti ba'ilach. According to the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's shita in the sugya of oynus is not. There's no question that there definitely is a tanai ksuba and a bas nezaynus, and the daughter gets nezaynus. Why? The Omar Yesh lo ksuba mana. He holds that even though the boyol, the husband, had to pay the father 100 kesef when the oynus happened, but there is an additional ksuba of another 100, and that additional ksuba creates a ksuba, so now there's a tanai ksuba. That's easy. According to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no question, there definitely is a ksuba, and there definitely, therefore, is a tanai ksuba. The question is only according to the Rabbanan Shita that holds there is no additional ksuba. He paid out a ksuba already, and therefore there is no ksuba between the two. There's no contract between them. Mike, even the less la ksuba, less la mezayni. So again, the same thing. This whole concept of the tanai ksuba is only hinged on the original ksuba. So since in this case there is no ksuba, there is no mezaynus. Idilma ksuba, my time. What is the reason? Let's go down to the depth of it. Why do we have a ksuba in the first place? The Rabbanan always want a ksuba there, so that, and this works, by the way, even according to the shitos that hold the ksuba's deraisa. But let's explain it simply. That the whole reason you have a ksuba so that it shouldn't be easy to divorce her. So over here, you can't divorce her no matter what. This is a din medaraisa. An oinus is never allowed to divorce his wife. So therefore, even though there is no ksuba, it's as if there's a ksuba. The purpose of the ksuba is here. And therefore the daughter should also be entitled to a ksuba based on the ksuba that was already paid before. So teiku, we're going to consider this as a question. This remains an open question whether or not the daughter is going to be entitled to collect mezaynus. Okay? So the tanai ksuba still apply. You just don't need, so the way Rashi learns is like this. This is the first place where we could possibly distinguish between the base ksuba and the tanai ksuba. Because even though the base ksuba doesn't apply, because we said he already paid it, he already gave the money for the, but essentially the concept of ksuba is here. It's just that you don't have to pay the ksuba because you already paid it, so therefore the tanai ksuba may be still in existence. Or maybe by saying that you don't have the base ksuba, what you're really saying is there is no ksuba here whatsoever. And therefore, of course, the tanai ksuba doesn't apply. That is the dilemma and the teiku that the Gemara is discussing. Okay, let's go back now to the next line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah is Atehe Yasva Bebesi. This is talking about that after the husband dies, the husband says to the wife, you can stay living in my house. You can stay living in my house. So Tani Rabbi Yosef, this is Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, Bebesi Veloi Bebiksi. This whole idea that she gets to stay living in the house is only talking about where he actually has a house. Actually, that's the Machlokes Rishonim, whether it means a house versus no house. But specifically, the Gemara says if she has a house where there's room for her to live versus a bixi is like a little hut that they have in the field where there really isn't enough room for everybody. It's just like a stationary place, so that she wants to stay there. I mean, it's something. She wants to stay there. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, they can, the Yosefim can say, I have an obligation to keep you in my house, but I don't have an obligation. I'm not keeping you. I'm not being responsible to keep you in this little tiny hut. But the chiddush is that even though normally mezoinis is contingent on as long as she lives in the house, she collects mezoinis, and if she leaves the house, she doesn't collect mezoinis. Over here, since they're kicking her out of the house, she continues to collect mezoinis even though she doesn't have a house. That is Rabbi Yosef Shita. Marber Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Mezoinin Nami Leslo. He says no. If there's no house, there's no mezoinis. You lose the whole thing. Okay, you lose the whole thing because it is a condition of living in the house. You live now. The interesting thing about this is that the Mefarshim explain, I think it's the Rosh that explains, that it's because when a wife lives in the house, she gives a bracha to the house. She gives a bracha to the house. So it's actually cheaper to support her when she's living in the house. But when she's not in the house, it's just the cost of food. It's much more expensive. And therefore the Yisraelim say, listen, I don't have a house. You're not giving me the bracha anymore. I don't have a chiyuv to support you. That would be Marber Rav Ashi's philosophy. However, the Gemara answers, "Less hilchos of Marber Rav Ashi," but we don't paskin like that. We don't say that. Meaning that even if they have a reason why they don't have to buy, they don't have a house for her to live in, the mechiyav mezainis is still survives, right? The death of the husband. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Tov Oya Lehinasei Vinis Paiso." Okay, so this is the basic rule. Now we're going to have to figure out the exceptions to the rule. What that means is as follows. We just said that she gets to stay living in the house, and she gets to live off the support of her husband's, of the mezoinis, from the yisoimim obviously, but from the husband's estate. That's true as long as she is living in this house, and she is, so to speak, true to her husband. But if she gets engaged or married to somebody else, it's not the deceased husband's responsibility anymore. Now, it's the new husband's responsibility. So that's the first statement. So Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, if she agreed to get married to somebody else, that's it. That's Ad Kan. That's where her mezoinis starts. Okay. Haloinis Baiso, Yesh Lo Mezoinis. If she did not agree to marry anybody else, she gets mezoinis. Now we're going to have to define what's the situation over here. What does that mean that she didn't agree? Amar Rav Anon, Ledidi Mefarsha Lo Minoy Demar Shmuel. So I heard it also. Remember, this is Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. He's quoting Shmuel. See, so Rav Nachman is saying, sorry, Rav Anon is saying, let me explain. I heard what when Shmuel said this, I can explain what he means. Amra Machmas Ploini Bali Yesh Lo Mezoinis. If the reason why she refused to get married to this guy is because she said, listen, I'm still mourning my old husband.
In honor of my husband,
exactly. So then she continues to get mezonis, because now she's staying, so to speak, she's staying true to the old husband, and therefore the old husband's still connected to her. Machas b'nei Adam she'enu hugonin law ein lo mezonis. If she really would have said yes, it's just that this particular guy does what? This particular guy is just not the right guy for her, so then she really is, so to speak, one foot out the door. She's just not getting married to him because it just didn't work out. So then she does, she really has left her husband, and she no longer is entitled to that mezoinis. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chista, Zinsa ein lo mezoinis. If she's mezana, okay, so that's obviously she is no longer true to her husband. So of course, then the husband is not responsible to support her anymore. Amar Rav Yosef, Kichlo Pirchasa ein lo mezoinis. So Rav Yosef takes it also. He says if she makes herself pretty for the outside world, she starts putting on makeup, so then, again, she is no longer, so to speak, mourning her husband. And the Gemara even says, "Manda Omar Zinsa Kol Sheken Kirchlo Pircha." If she was mezana, as Rashi says, because if she was mezana, she just couldn't control herself. Okay, listen, you know, she needs to feel affection. That it happens. But Kol Sheken Kirchlo Pircha. But if she's going out and announcing to the world that I'm no longer part of my husband anymore, so then of course he doesn't have to support her. But the one who says that she's putting on makeup, Avol Zinsa Isla, could you imagine? But that was a one time thing. That really meant that she really is true to her husband. She just couldn't overcome the Yetzirah for it, and she did it.
She got a little bit. My time, as the Gemara says, itself says, my time at Yetzer, and so her Yetzer got her. And, okay, but she's still really tied to her husband. It's just like she needed something, so she got it. However, the Gemara says, V'les hilchasa k'chol hanishmaitzo. We don't pass him like any of this. Ella ki hada amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. The bottom line is like this: Ha'tayveya ha'tayvas k'suba bebezdin ela mizaynos. He says the bottom line is she has to come and ask for her k'suba. As long as she didn't ask for her k'suba, and she's still living in her husband's house, she continues to collect the k'suba. Again, if she gets married to somebody else, she gets married. That's that. Then of course she's someone else's responsibility. There's no question about that. But we're talking about in all these situations where she's seeking to look to move out, seeking to look out, until she literally asks for the ksuba, she's still with the husband and gets to collect. However, the Gemara asks, let's define this a little bit further. Veloy, is that really true? Vartani, we do have a brisa that there are some situations. Machu ksubasa. Let's say she sells her ksuba like we learned earlier in the sugya. She sells her ksuba to somebody else. Umashkana ksubasa. Or she gives it as a mashkan for collateral so that she can collect other money. Or she gave it as it's an apoytiki, it's a similar thing, that she gave it as collateral to somebody else. Ein lo mezoinos. There, you don't get mezoinos. So we see that she already tried to barter with her ksuba, she loses her ksubas. It's not the only case where she has to literally go to Bezdin and ask for it. It's not limited to specifically that case. So is it true that you have to, in order to be considered moved out, you have to ask for your ksuba? So the Gemara says, you're right. Hani in, avotava, actually, it's hani in, it's only these cases, it sounds like she loses her ksuba. Avotava loy, sounds like even if she's tevei her ksuba, she doesn't lose the support. So the Gemara says, no, that's, you're actually looking at it just the opposite. Hani bebezdin, ben shaloy bebezdin. In these cases where she barters her ksuba, you don't even need to get a bezdin involved. She's already starting to barter her ksuba. She's giving away her ksuba, so then she loses her mezoinos. Tava, tavas, the bezdin in shaloi bebezdin loy. But yes, there is something unique about being tevei the ksuba. Being tevei the ksuba is only in bezdin. So if she goes to the yisoyimim and threatens them, "Hey, I want my ksuba," actually, that's not going to trigger her stopping the mezoinos. It's only if she actually files the complaint and goes to Bezdin, that's when we say that she loses the rest of her support. But talking to the Yisamim about it and other things like that is not considered a situation where she'll lose her ksuba. Okay, so that takes us to the two dots in the middle of the Yomid. Then the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. V'kachaya anshe Yerushalayim. The people in Yerushalayim also, they also used to have, they said that they lived, excuse me, the people in Yerushalayim, they said that, right, that she can live in the house and collect mezoinos as long as she doesn't collect the ksuba. As opposed to the Anshe Yehuda, as opposed to Anshe Yehuda, that they allowed the Yisoyimim themselves to decide whether or not she gets to collect her ksuba or not. You know, based on that, the Gemara now has Itmar. Rav Omar Halocha ka Anshe Yehuda. Okay, so now you have to follow the names over here in order to appreciate the back and forth in the Gemara. So Rav says the halacha is like Yehuda, which means that the Yisoyimim can force. So let's try to remember Rav's Shita, because you try to remember too much information, you don't remember anything. So Rav's Shita is the Yisoyimim can force the Ksuba. Ushmul amar halacha kanshe Galil. And Shmuel holds like Galil, which means that she controls whether she collects her Ksuba. So the Gemara now says, okay, so the basic, very simple machlekes Rav and Shmuel, how we paskin. Bovel, the chol parvadha, so Bovel and all its surroundings, noye kerav, they held like Rav that the Yisoyimim control. Nahardo, the chol parvadha, noye kishmuel. Nahardo, which is Ir Shmuel, that's where Shmuel lived. So they hold like Shmuel, which says that she controls. Okay, so maybe it's easy to remember in English. Shmuel is she controls. Shmuel, the shin and Shmuel, the simon is she controls. That way you'll remember who holds what. Okay, she controls when to collect the ksuba. Okay, let's move on. The Gemara says, Ahi Bas Mechuzo. There was a woman from the city of Mechuzo, the Havei Nesiva, Linahar Do'oi. But she was married to a guy who lived in Nahar Do. So now, Mechuzo and Nahar Do are going to have a machlekes in the minig over here. Who controls? So also the Kamei de Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, they came to Rav Nachman. Shomo Lekolo de Bas Mechuzo. He heard her talking and recognized her accent that she's from Mechuzo. So which means that she would paskin like Rav. That the Yisrael would control. Amar Lahu. He said, yeah, okay, no problem. In Bava, we generally paskin like Rav. Omrule, then the Yisoyimim came and they said, one second. Vahala Nahardo Nasiva. It's fine that she's from Mechuzah, but her husband, who's responsible and whose money it is, he came from Nahardo. So Amrulahu, so then Rav Nachman said, one second, I changed teams. Ihachi Nahardo Vachol Parabodo Noye Kishmul. Then if anything, then he's from Nahardo, then we paskin like Shmuel, and she controls whether or not she gets the ksuba. Okay? So that's where, so what we see from this Gemara, the back and forth, is it doesn't depend on, very interesting sugya over here, contract sugya. It doesn't depend on where she is from, it depends on where the husband is from. That's how the minig is set. Why is that always true? That's not always true. So the Gemara answers, Adhecha de sagi kabo de nahardo. So until the Nahardo's influence goes as far as where they use the weights that Nahardo used. Apparently Nahardo used a different set of weight system. You know, they used, let's say, meters versus feet or something. I don't know. They used a different system. And whoever uses the Nahardo system uses the Nahardo is considered under the influence of Nahardo and gets the minig of Nahardo. If they don't use the minig of the Nahardo, then they don't apply the minig of Nahardo for this purpose also. Okay, next thing. Itmar. Almono. So, here we have a situation, a very interesting situation, where the Almana is coming in to collect her ksuba. That's it. She's done. She wants to collect her ksuba and move on. No problem. Question is, what's included in this assessment? Rav Amar Shomin Masha Aleha. Rav says, you include the clothing on her back. That's also, listen, you get $200, your clothing are worth $50. That's it. We already paid you $50. No problem. Shmuel says, no, what she's wearing, that's kind of who she is. That's not what we're talking about, payment of the ksuba. She gets to wear what she wears. So again, Shmuel says, you know, let's not get crazy over here. We're not going to nickel and dime her for even what she's wearing. But the difference is, but we pass them, they flip their shitas when we're talking about a day worker. A day worker who also sometimes the balabayas supplies them a uniform. Let's give that example. You supply the uniform. Who keeps the uniform after the guy's finished his job? Okay, what? It's a machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. Even if the employer supplied the uniform, right, you go to camp and they give you a staff t-shirt. Okay? Who gets to keep that staff t-shirt when camp is over? Does the staff member keep it? Or does the camp say, okay, give me back the staff t-shirt? This is the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So we say flip the shitas. That according to Shmuel, the Baal HaBayis gets it back. Or at least gets to include that as part of the wages and says, oh, I owe you $100. At the end of camp, you pay the counselor $100 and say, oh, but I bought you a t-shirt for $18. Okay, so I'm going to give you 72. Or 82, whatever. Right? I'm going to give you 80. So that's the question. Does the Baal HaBayis get to include the uniform as part of his payment or not? So Rav Kahano, Masni v'chein b'loket. He says, no, you don't switch the shitas Rav and Shmuel. They hold the same thing regarding whether or not, when you're wearing something, whether that's considered payment or not. Umanach b'simono, and he said, the way to remember it is, yasma v'almolosa shalach upoik. That by a yasma happens to be, for whatever reason over here, it means the worker. The worker and the almona just send them out and leave. Okay? And therefore, they're both the same. They take what they have and they leave. So Even though the pashtus is that the Mishnah sounds like Shmuel Shita, which is again that what's on her back doesn't count, and the simple reading of the Mishnah is that she goes, she collects her ksuba, the dollar amount in full. However, you should know lemaisa, the halacha is like Rav, and part of the cheshbon of paying the ksuba includes the clothing that she's wearing. Ditna. So let's see where we see this. Ditna. Echad hamakdish nechosov ve'echad hamarich es atzmoi. So here we have a situation, totally unrelated halacha, that a person is allowed to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, and the guy, this genius over here says, I want to give all my property to the Beis HaMikdash. No problem. Or I want to give my value, whatever it is, 100, according to the values that are stated in the Torah. So it's going to cost him, I don't know, whatever number. It's going to cost him $100 to make this payment. The problem is, if the guy doesn't pay, Bezdin, the Gizbur, is going to come from the Beis HaMikdash, and he's gonna take the collateral from his house. So the thing is like this, he's gonna leave the guy with nothing. So, ein loy, so the Gizbur is not allowed to take loy biksus ishtoi v'loy biksus bonov. The Gizbur is allowed to take all his property, but cannot take his wife's clothing, and cannot take the children's clothing. V'loy v'tseva shetzava l'shmona, not even those clothing that they created for them. So they haven't even worn it yet. They went out Erev Yontif and I bought my wife a new dress. She hasn't worn it yet. That's already considered part of the materials that are off limits. The Leibisandalim Chadoshim, and they can't take new shoes. Shalach on Lishmon, that's bought for either the wife or the children. Anyway, so you see from here, you see that the clothing is not considered, the clothing that she's wearing or even meant to wear are not considered part of his cheshbon of what he can use, of his available money for use of payment. So we see that her clothing is a separate cheshbon. So that's why the Gemara says, now the Gemara continues. Amalei rova l'Rav Nachman v'chimiachad d'tnan masnis and kavosu d'Shmuel amai halchusel k'rav kavosu d'rav. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a Mishnah that seems to imply exactly like Shmuel Shita that the clothing is considered a different cheshbon is not. But l'maisa we paskin like Rav. The Gemara said earlier we paskin like Rav. And as a general rule, Rav and Shmuel we paskin like Rav. So at least in Hilchos Mominus. So we paskin like Rav. That it is part of the cheshbon. It is part of the cheshbon. So why do we pass him like Rav against the Mishnah? Amar lei l'chayra k'shmul rehita. This is a very interesting, Gemara, unique Gemara to say this. It seems if you learn the Mishnah quickly, like Shmuel, that's the simple reading is like Shmuel. Ki ma'ainis ba. But if you look a little bit more closely and you actually ma'ayin in the Mishnah, you pay attention to the details, you're going to realize in depth it's really holding like Rav. It's a very interesting Gemara that you have to look at things really in the depth. You can't look at things shallow. You look at it shallow, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. So here's the depth. My timer. Why is it that over there that by the Beis HaMikdash case, that you cannot collect it. Ki akne la adaita la mekum kamei. That's because over there, he's planning on staying married to her. When he gives her those shoes or the dress or whatever, he wants it for her to keep in the marriage. Adaita la mishko la mefek loy akne la. But he never gave her the dress so that she could take it to flaunt it someplace else. Right? He never intended to give her the thing for other people. He intended, when he bought her, so that's why, so, what, the mink coat, right? He didn't give her the mink coat so that she could wear it for somebody else. He gave her the mink coat so that she could, or the sheitel. He didn't give that to her so that she could show it off to wear it someplace else. He gave it to her so that he could enjoy the sheitel. So in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, so fine. So in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, it's hers, fine. But that's because he's going to enjoy it. The husband is going to get to keep that sheitel. I mean, she wears it, but he gets something out of it. It's his wife. Whereas in this case, we're talking about divorce. We're talking about after the marriage is over. Well, I didn't give her that sheitel so she could take the sheitel to use someplace else. So that's why we paskin like Rav, that anything she wants to take, no problem. You could take the $3,000 shetel, or the $10,000 shetel nowadays. Right? You could take these expensive shetel, but that's part of your cheshbon. That's what you're getting. So therefore, that's why the halacha is like Rav. It's not my responsibility to shower you with extra stuff and you take it out of my house to someplace else. And that's why the halacha is like Rav. Okay, now is the story that I mentioned before. Kalsa Debay Bar El Yoshev, there was the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Bar Yoshev. Have Katova Ksubasa Miyasmi. So she did this. She decided, you know what? I want my ksuba. She brought them to Beis Din. No problem. Have Kamatia La Lebei Dina. So she was on her way walking to Beis Din. Amri, so the Yisayimim said, Zilulon Milsa to Tezel Hachi. It's embarrassing for us to see you walk in, you know, come into Beis Din wearing schlumpy clothing. So they said, you know what? It's much better if you come into Beis Din to show Beis Din how you really were treated, if you wear all your clothing that you got in your father's house. Now, I imagine they didn't have a closet full like we have nowadays. I'm sure she had two or three outfits, okay, which is manageable. They said it would be much better, it would be a much better presentation, you know, if you're wearing a suit and tie when you come into Beis Din. So put on the good clothing. So also the Kamei de Ravina, so they came in front of Ravina, Amalahu Hilchasa Kavose de Rav. And he said, oh yeah, by the way, the halacha is like Rav, that whatever she is wearing is part of the cheshbon. The Amar Amana Shomin Masha Aleha. So he said, whatever she's wearing is part of the cheshbon. So these Yisayimim, so to speak, tricked her into collecting half her ksuba by telling her to come to Beis Din all dressed up. So she went ahead and she put on that expensive shetel and the fancy dress and whatever it was. And they said, okay, fine, no problem. Here you go. Here's your payment. So we see from here that this is what I wanted to say before, that you see from this story that it is literally what she is wearing. It's not just what she has in the closet. It has to be, she's going to come out of Beis Din, she's going to come out of Beis Din with what she's wearing and a check for the balance. That's it. Anything else she wants to take is on her is so hahu darmalahu nedunya libras. Okay, a guy. Another story. A guy said, "I'm contributing. I want to give a dowry." And this machlok is actually Rishonim over here, whether or not he said a specific amount. He said, I want to give a dowry. Let's just say, for argument's sake, I want to give $500 dowry. Zil and zol nedunya. But I want to give, what he said was, I want to buy, let's just make up a case. I wanted to buy a diamond for my daughter as a dowry. I'm going to buy the dowry. And now, zol nedunya, the dowry went down in value. So again, so he thought he was going to give her a $10,000 diamond. Turns out that the diamond is only going to cost $5,000 nowadays. Okay? So he was able to get it for much cheaper. So Amar Rav Idi Bar Abin, Purna Liyasmi. The extra goes to the Yisayimim. Okay? So that means you don't have to give. Right, okay, so now you have. Here's the situation. I left out part of the story. The part of the story is like this: that the father had said, "I'm going to donate. I'm going to buy a $10,000 diamond for my daughter," and then the father died. So the halacha is, we haven't really gotten into this so much, but the halacha is that whatever the father promises in a dunya, even after he dies, even for the unmarried daughters, the yisoyimim, it comes from the estate, and the yisoyimim are going to have to pay. Okay, so it's going to come. We mentioned this a few times already. Okay, we did mention this before. So the Yisayimim are going to have to pay for the Nedunya. That's part of the Cheshbon. Okay, no problem. But here, what happened was, he said, I'm going to buy, I don't know, let's call it the two carat diamond for $10,000, making up an example. So, and then what happens is, you can get a two carat diamond for $8,000 or $5,000. So it's much cheaper than what the father originally promised. I can still give her that same diamond. It's just going to cost me a lot less. So the halacha is, so Amar Rav Idi Bar Abin, Purnali Yasmi, the Yisayimim get the benefit. They're going to still buy her that diamond, but they're going to spend the cheaper amount of money. Hahu Amar Lahu, Arba Mea Zuzi Min Chamra Libras. He said, the way the father made the promise, he wanted to give his daughter a present. He said, I have all these barrels of wine. I want to give $400 worth of wine to my daughter. Now the story happened the other way around. Now this wine originally was worth $400. Now this wine is worth $1,000. Okay, it became much more expensive. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chali Yasmi, again, the Yisoyimim, because he set a dollar amount, he set the dollar amount to $400, they only have to give her $400 worth. And the extra profit they get to keep. Okay? So again, so the Yisoyimim can get, depending on the actual words that he used, the Yisoyimim don't, the point is they have to get her, if he says an object, they can pay the lesser amount for the value. If they can get the object for cheaper, they benefit. If he says a dollar amount, if his focus is on the dollar amount, then they give the dollar amount even if the object now would cost more, they're only chayiv to pay. I'll give you an example. A guy says, I'm gonna give you a car. Right? So give you a car. So 3-4 years ago, a used car for, I don't know, $10,000, $13,000 was like a normal price to buy a used car. Now that same used car, that same 3-year-old Camry that used to cost $13,000, now costs $23,000. So what did the father say? Did the father say, I'm going to give you a used car? Or did the father say, I'm going to give you $13,000 towards a used car? That's going to make the difference what the Yisoyimim are going to be obligated to pay. Their father had a wife. So the father died, and he had a wife. So the avikamapsida mezoini, that she was just spending crazy on the mezoinis. She just was out of control when it came to buying the mezoinis. You know, I don't know what she was doing, either eating too much, or chvesa buying the most expensive things. She had no idea how much money she was spending. And she was eating up the estate. So also the kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, amalahu azilu va'amru lo la'avuchan, go tell your father. In other words, the father was still alive in this situation. And the problem was that the more that she ate, the less was going to be left for the estate. So they said, tell your father, d'niyached la'ara l'mezoinus. Give her a set amount, create a budget, or create an account, right? Be miyachet, a field that's going to be used to pay for the mezonos. Because what they were afraid of, this woman was eating who knows what.
She was high maintenance,
right? So they were afraid that when the father dies, all of a sudden she's going to spend double or triple the price on what normal people spend on food. So he said, give her a field, and that field will be what she gets to spend the money on. Also, the comment of Reish Lakish, Amar Lahu, Kol Shagein Shereibu La Mezoinos. No, in that case, then, no, if she needs more than you, and you gave her a field, that field becomes extra collateral. Meaning, whatever she eats, and if you run out of money from the estate, she then goes, dips into that field, it becomes extra, to cover her additional expenses. Amar Lahu, and that's what Reish Lakish said, he said just the opposite. So Amar Lahu, Vahar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Amar Hachi, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Rabbi Yochanan said, you can limit it to this field. Amar Lahu, Zilu, Havu, Lo, he says, no. So Zilu Havu La, give her, you better give her that field extra. He said, you better give her that field extra. The Eloi Mafikna Lahu Rabbi Yochanan Mu'unaihu. If not, I'm going to take it out. Mu'unaihu means from your ears. I'm going to take that money away from you. Okay, don't think you're going to get away with this. Reish Lakish was very stark on this. He's like, yeah, you're not getting away with this. That's what she eats. That's what she's used to. That's what she costs. Also, the comment of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lahu. Also, the comment of Rabbi Yochanan, they went back to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Reish Lakish is forcing us to pay her whatever. So, Amar Lahu, Ma'asa. Rabbi Yochanan said, what can I do? Shekinegdi chaylik alai, he argues on me. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan said, if Reish Lakish said, then that's what you got to do. So finally he says, okay, let me explain what Rabbi Yochanan was really saying. Rabbi Yochanan didn't just give in to Reish Lakish. It really depends on what he said. If he says, I want this field to be there for mezoinos, so then ribola. Limezoinos means, in case she needs it for mezoinos, then this field should be available for mezoinos. Then it becomes an extra field. Ribola mezoinos. That then he's saying whatever extra she needs. Omar bimizoinois katzos lamizoinois. If he says this field is her food, then this field is the limit in what he has to pay. So it really depends on how you phrase it. The phrasing is really the nuance of the phrasing of how you construct the sentence makes all the difference in the world. If you say limizoinois, it should be there if she needs it for mizoinois. Then it becomes an extra pocket. Bimizoinus means this is what you're going to use, then this is it, and then you have nothing more. Hadron aloch nairo shenispasasal. So we finished the fourth parak. Now we're going to start Amir Tashem, the fifth parak. It's a little bit late, so we're going to start this quickly, and we'll talk about it Amir Tashem a little bit more next time. But the Mishnah starts like this. Parak afopi. Afopi sha'amr basula goiva masayim v'almanam ona. Even though, of course, we all know that for basula you always pay 200, the ksubas 200, and for an almana it's always mana. Imroitza lahoysef, afilu mea mana yosef, if he wants to add even 100, like he's doubling the size of the ksuba, he can go ahead and add. The Gemara is going to discuss what he means if he wants. Of course he can if he wants. Nis armalo, oinis garshalo. Now, if it turns out that the husband dies or they get divorced. Ben mina erusin, ben mina nasun, whether the divorce happens during the engagement or whether it happens after the marriage, goive es hakol. Once he promised, so then she gets everything. Hakol meaning not only the 200, they get the extra also. However, Rabbi Loza ben Azaria Oimer, no. Min hanasuin, goive es hakol. If the marriage ended after they were literally married. So then the intent is, if I promised the extra, I meant to include the extra also. Mina erusin, no. If they only lasted through engagement, they never actually got married, then basula goiva masayim of almana mona. That's it. That's your limit. By engagement, because all those extra promises are only meant if they actually get married. If they never got married, so then the extra promises, why? As the Mishnah says, shalai kosev lo elam anas l'gainza. You only meant to promise those extra promises. The basics you gotta give because you gotta give. The basics are the basics. But once you go above the above basics is only if I get something out of it, if I'm getting married. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imrotza Koisev Libasula Shtar Shomasayim, Vihi Koisevis is Kabalti Memchalmana. So we saw Rabbi Yehuda Shita quoted before, that we saw it on Daphne and Aleph a few blot ago. So he says, if Rabbi Yehuda says, of course the ksuba, the basic ksuba has to say you're giving her 200 for a basula, but he can already, and they can agree to give him a receipt as if she already received 100. Half of the ksuba, and the same thing. Mona. The ksuba has to say 100. The hiko says kabaldi memchal chamishim zuz, and she could say, no, I already collected 50. It's half. Okay. So now, Rameir Oimer, Kol. Okay. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay to live with a ksuba that's only half at half value. Rameir Oimer, Kol hapoiches lebesula mimasayim. If you ever make any arrangements during the marriage that she's going to collect anything less than full, harezu beilos sinus. This is considered beilos sinus. Okay? You have to have, for the marriage to be intact, the ksuba has to be intact. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that you could reduce the ksuba. If she's meichel, she's meichel. Okay, so we're just going to do one more line, and we're going to stop one more line over here, and we'll pick up the rest of the Amid next time in Eretz Hashem. Pshita. So, then the Gemara starts off Pshita. Of course, if the guy wants to give more money, he can give more money. Nobody's going to stop him from giving money to his wife and promising more money if he wants to. So why does the Mishnah have to tell us, oh, by the way, if he wants to give more, he could? So the Gemara says, Ma'azatemo kitsusa of the Rabbanon. It could be that the Rabbanon actually set the price in the Ksuba should be the same for everybody no matter what. Shaloi levayesh esmisha einloi. So that nobody's embarrassed, that everybody goes into the marriage 200 a Ksuba. We know what the Ksuba is. There's no negotiating. There's nothing to talk about. Everybody gets the same amount. It works for the better or for the worse. And then everybody is happy. Kamash malon. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Don't worry about that. If somebody wants to promise more, and the Chiddush is, and it becomes part of the Ksuba. We're not talking about if a guy wants to buy his wife a mink coat, stam on the side. You can do whatever you want on the side. We're talking about to make it part of the Ksuba. So when you're reading the Ksuba in front of everybody, by the Chasana, you're going to read the Ksuba that says, mana, plus $1 million. You're going to read that, and the guy's all proud of himself. So you might think that we don't want that to happen. We don't want it to turn into a competition by the Chasana. Don't worry about it. That's what the Mishnah is saying. If you want to add, and it becomes part of the Ksuba, then it becomes part of the Ksuba. Okay, we'll stop over here a minute, right over here, and we'll pick up from here, because this is the beginning of the next Sugya, Mirtz Hashem, next time.